Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Over a decade ago, attorney Michael Bailey turned his attention to estate law after he recognized the unacceptable number of adults without proper end-of-life planning. Michael recognizes that many of his clients have difficulty finding the time for making a proper estate plan. That's why he became the Mobile Estate Planner. He will go to wherever you are to assist you with your estate planning, including writing wills, trusts, and giving you the information you need to avoid probate. Now, ATX, Ask the Experts, presents Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died, all he left was alone. All right, good afternoon. Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source. Also heard on 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, 560source.com, the TuneIn app, or if you want to just go stand outside the building, I'll yell really loud and you can hear me there. That'll be exciting. I'm probably not actually going to yell, but I give people a different option. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600, and my direct line is 720-394-6887. Now, last week, we had my friend Andrea on, and she talked about horse therapy and therapy with horses and all that good stuff, which is good. You know, sometimes I feel like I've heard people talk about how they need chocolate therapy and they need to, you know, eat lots of chocolate, and that's their chocolate therapy, or ice cream therapy. I think horse therapy is a little bit more scientific and a little bit more understood and accepted, and, you know, works better than ice cream therapy. But, you know, I may be wrong. You know, I've never tried ice cream therapy too much more than just, you know, having ice cream. Which, you know, seems like an okay thing, but still, we've got that going. Anyhow, so I'm talking about estate planning. You know, it's a new year. It's January 10th. So by this point, I think most people have probably, you know, they may even still be trying to do their New Year's resolutions. I don't know. I had somebody who said to me the other day, you know, I feel like I always break my New Year's resolution, so I'm just going to try something I did. I'm just going to pick something I did yesterday and call that my New Year's resolution. This was on January 2nd. I'm like, yeah, that is a possibility. My wife and I, we've been doing pretty well about exercising for the last couple of years, and so we'll go out running, or, you know, in the last year or so, the puppy dogs have decided that they need a walk every single day because, you know, they're puppy dogs, and clearly dogs need to go on walks, and so we've been walking the dogs every day. So we go, and we'll where we live, we can go through the neighborhood and go out, and then there's a walking path that goes back between a couple of neighborhoods and around, and there's up near a lake and near a park and on the way back. So we've kind of got a predictable path, and there's a predictable group of people who are out there walking their dogs, or, you know, when we go out running, there's usually a fairly predictable group of people who are going to be out at a given time. So you go and you get the people. So we've noticed that when we've been out in the last couple of days, that there are there's a couple of people who we've seen out there running early in the, you know, early in the year, and they had a completely coordinated outfit. So, you know, they had their shirt and their pants and their shoes and the headband and a coat, or, you know, a jacket of some sort, and everything appeared to be completely and totally coordinated. I'm like, it looks as if you're embracing your New Year's resolution. So you got a whole new set of workout clothes. You're like, yes, okay, I've got a whole new set of workout clothes. And now that I've got this whole new set of workout clothes, probably ought to be careful. You know, we're going to go out, we're going to work out, we're going to embrace our new and our new and exciting and happy and wonderful, nifty New Year's resolution that we're going to go exercise and lose some weight. Okay, so you go out, you exercise, you lose some weight. Now, we've noticed in the last 10 days, some of those people have kind of disappeared. We don't know if they've decided to start going running at a different time. We don't know if they've decided to start going running at a... you know, not outside. They're like, yeah, it's cold outside, so we're going to start going to the gym. And we've decided we're going to, or, you know, we have no idea what happened to them, but it's amazing how even just a few days into a new year, your New Year's resolution tends to fall off. Now, I have seen a whole bunch of different, things go on in estate planning that appear to be kind of like the flash in the plan, the flash in the pan type of things. And it does, and it's one of those things that, you know, there's new ways to, there's definitely ways to do things. The kind of preferred way of doing estate planning changes from time to time. I mean, I had somebody who asked me just the other day, well, what is the estate tax limit? And I said, well, they're like, isn't it like around $5 million? I'm like, well, it was scheduled to go up to $5.6 million per person this year. And then we had new legislation at the end of December that changed that and doubled it. So now suddenly we went from $5.6 million to $11.2 million per person, or $22.4 million for a couple. Now, even at the $5 million level, we didn't run into a lot of people who had over $10 million worth of assets. And because we didn't have people who had over $10 million worth of assets, there wasn't, at least for me, there wasn't a lot of taxable estates that I dealt with. Now, there are people who deal with taxable estates, and I have friends who deal with taxable estates, and those friends, they deal with taxable estates all the time. They have some sophisticated techniques that they use. And, you know, if you have a taxable estate, if you have over $22 million, by all means, still give me a call. I can refer you to my friends who do that, and we can get that figured out. And we can get you taken care of. It may just not be me alone doing it, because since I don't do taxable estates all the time, I'm like, well, I'd really like to go ahead and talk to, my friends who do it all the time, because they have a lot more experience, and I want to make sure we do it right. But, you know, things change, and, you know, several years ago, when there was a $1 million or a $2 million estate tax limit, there were a fair amount of people who had $1 million or $2 million or over that amount, normal people who had saved or done okay and suddenly had, $2.5 million. And so a very popular strategy at that time, so several years ago, was that we would take assets and we'd put half of them into a trust for the husband and half of them into a trust for the wife. And then we had two separate trusts, and we would take advantage of the $1 million estate tax limit for each person, and then we'd split up the assets that way. That way you could say, okay, well, we've got $1 million here, we've got $1 million there, or let's say that, a couple had $1.8 million. So we could put $900,000 of value into one trust and $900,000 of value into another trust. And then when one person died, we're like, okay, well, that trust had $900,000. We're not going to give it to the person. We're not going to give it to the spouse. We're going to leave it in the trust. And then if the spouse needs it, then we can pass things over to, then we can use the trust to, give distributions to the other spouse as a beneficiary of the trust, but we're not going to put it into their name. So it's not going to be it's not going to be counted as part of their estate. And in doing so, we could change, we did that where we could separate out assets and give people, save estate tax. Well, now we've got a slightly different way of doing things. We've got, back in early 2013, we got a bunch of money, we got new rules where the estate tax limit, so if we've got, $5 million for a husband, $5 million for a wife, so $5 million per spouse each, and yes, now it's $11.2 million each, But we've got, okay, we've got that type of thing. And we say, oh, well, what if we've, you know, do we need, we got new rules that say you can, that there's portability to those estate tax limits. So that if a husband does not use up his full $11.2 million, you can fill out paperwork to transfer that to the wife, or vice versa. So if you've got, let's say you've got $15 million, and I realize that's a small sample size. If you've got $15 million, you don't have to be like, oh, we need to split this up into two separate trusts for people. Now we can say, okay, well, we'll put it in, you know, we'll do one thing with it. And then when the first spouse dies, we'll use $11.2 million worth of the estate tax exemption. And then we'll use part of it. And then the rest of it we can transfer over. So it ends up being, you know, larger for a couple. And it, you know, there's a paperwork you need to file to make that happen. But you know, those are some new rules that have come up in the last few years. And, you know, they haven't changed too much. You know, at least the portability hasn't changed. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source. Also heard on 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, 1220 AM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. Now, with the changes in laws and everything and various attorneys who do things, sometimes I get people who are like, okay, well, you know, you said we could do this. I'm like, yeah, I did. Okay. Well, I had another attorney who said this. Why would they have said that? And sometimes, yeah, I kind of have to explain, hey, I may be an attorney. I'm not a mind reader. I cannot tell you why somebody else would have said something. I can't tell you what they thought the thoughts, you know, the circumstances were, because sometimes interpretations are different. Sometimes understandings are different. And sometimes people may be remembering old rules as opposed to new rules. And that happens. But there's a whole, and, you know, it's a little bit interesting because I swear people seem to think that we're supposed to be future tellers, or, you know, we can peer into the future and tell you exactly what's going to happen. You know, I've had clients who are like, oh, well, you know, so when we die, what's going to happen? Well, you know, your will says that this is what's going, you know, and this is how we distribute things out. Yeah, but what's going to happen? You know, what probate can, like, what do we need to do when we go through probate, and how can we do this and this? And I'm like, you know, I can tell you what probate looks like right now, but I can't tell you what probate will look like in 15 to 20 years, because things will probably change. So lots of people seem to think that there's this concept that you know, we can look into the future and that we'll know exactly what the future is going to hold. Now, having said that, you know, we can have some predictability about what's going to happen in the future. You can never eliminate all of the possibilities. It's just not how things work. You can't eliminate absolutely everything. You know, I've talked about it before, but the concept is, you know, I've talked about before about like the Hollywood concept of, oh, it's ironclad. It can't be challenged. It's so set up that it's set up in such a way that it's impossible to, you know, challenge it. It's impossible for it to be defeated. Well, that's just not true. Even if you set things up the very best way you can, sometimes things go wrong. The aim is to put you in the absolute best position so that if things do go wrong, what you want to have happen still gets carried out. But every once in a while, things go wrong, and every once in a while, things are weird and things are strange. And so you set things up so that even when that happens, even when things do go wrong, your wishes are still carried out. And now sometimes there's a deal where you just can't have where, you know, crazy things happen. I mean, I've had it happen where, you know, somebody will call me and be like, oh, well, you know, we set up this trust and we were supposed to put five properties in, and, you know, there, you only gave us four of them. So where's the fifth? And I say, well, you know, I only got four copies of current deeds from you. So I can put that fifth, I'm happy to put that fifth property in. I just need the additional information from you. And, you know, it's okay. You know, it does seem like a big deal, but if you get me the information, I'll write it up. We can get it signed and we'll be good. We can move on. You know, sometimes, you know, there are certain things where everybody wants everything to be perfect in life, right? Everybody wants everything to make perfect sense. Everything needs to be, you know, nobody likes to see something that looks wrong. Nobody likes to see something that doesn't work. And so nobody wants anything that looks like it has a flaw in it. And I completely understand that. So, but I've had people who, you know, I'll send things out for review and they're looking at it. They're like, well, wait a minute. This financial power of attorney says it replaces all other powers of attorney. And the medical power of attorney says it replaces all the other powers of attorney. So they kind of cancel each other out, don't they? And I usually say, no, it's pretty well understood that a financial power of attorney is only canceling previous financial powers of attorney, and that a medical power of attorney is only canceling previous medical powers of attorney. Well, that's not what it says. It's going to confuse people. And so you need to rewrite this. I'm like, okay. I will write in there replacing all previous financial powers of attorney and replacing all previous medical powers of attorney. I can do that. You know, people get concerned that, you know, there needs to be a comma there or a semicolon. And I'm as much a perfectionist as anybody else. I want to get things right too. But it's almost comical how it's almost like it's a moral failing. Oh, well, how can I trust you to write an estate plan if you can't even spell Montezuma correctly? And I kind of look at it and say, you know, I jokingly say, hey, you know what? The law is a good thing. Spelling is not a required subject on the bar exam. And typing was not a subject. There was no typing class in law school. So, of course, you know, the typos do happen. That's why I send things out for review. And we can get them fixed before we sit down and sign stuff. I've even had it where we've sat down, we've signed stuff, and I'm going through it just to check and make sure we haven't missed a spot. And I'm like, huh, I've got an error there. Let me fix that. And I'll reprint that page and we'll stick it in and we'll be good to go. You know, if we catch that right when we're assigning things, we're okay. Now, there's also such thing that's known as a Scrivener's error. And a Scrivener's error, and you know, why we have to call it a Scrivener's error is because back in England, we had Scriveners who were the people who wrote stuff. You know, we could just call it a Scribe's error now. But where would the fun in that be? We could use the word Scrivener, which is kind of fun. So you have a Scrivener's error, which is something got written down wrong, or it was a typo, or just, you know, some sort of mistake. Well, those are allowed to be fixed. You can take, to fix a Scrivener's error, we've got a Scrivener's error. Ooh, we've got a mistake here. Well, if we've got a mistake here, we probably ought to see if we can fix that. Yes, we should. And, you know, Scrivener's errors are things that you can take and you can, as an attorney, we can just fix it. We don't need to necessarily get everything re-signed and redo absolutely everything. Now, sometimes that lends itself to a problematic thing where you go, okay, well, we can do a Scrivener, we can fix it as a Scrivener's error. Cool, let's fix a Scrivener's error. And you go, well, here's a question. Is it really a Scrivener's error? Or is it truly a Scrivener's error? Or is it a substantive change to the document that we can't just fix? And that's an important distinction. It's an important thing to know. It's an important thing to do. It's an important thing to understand, because we don't want to just say, oh, hey, it's a Scrivener's error. Yeah, we can fix it. Sure, we changed everything from little Johnny gets money to little Timmy, and little Johnny's going to be a little bit upset. You know, that's not what we're trying to do. It's part of why we try to be very careful about how we set things up, but it's just kind of there. It's what we need to do. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 16. That's 1220. I can't. So the number is right there. We got 303-477-5600, which is the number to call us in the studio. My direct line is 720-394-6887. See, my own phone number, I've got that one memorized. My producer's back there laughing at me that I can't read things. You are on 560 KLZ, The Source, Mobile Estate Planning. also 100.7 FM. I suppose if we didn't have four stations to that we were simulcasting on, it would make it easier. But hey, here I am, you know, on 560 KLZ, the source, sitting in the studio. I'm looking out the window here. I don't see anybody who came by to take advantage of my offer that I talk and yell really loud so they could hear me. But still, it's a possibility. It's out there. Oh, so according to this, or according to a text that I just got, my wife says we are all listening to me, which is nice. So I guess I probably ought to say nice things. So, hi, babe. How are you? It's good to see you. Are Caitlin, Allison, and Cardi doing okay? Those are the names of my children, for anybody who didn't know that. It's nice to know that somebody's listening to me. I hope other people are as well. So that's good. You know, sometimes they could potentially even call in and say hi, but I think they have other things going on. You know, last time I think talking to my wife, they had chiropractor appointments today, and then my youngest daughter, my 8-year-old, she's starting volleyball practice this evening. And, you know, then there's that whole homework thing, and I mean, you know, they're back in school. They went to school yesterday and today, and I think they have assessments tomorrow. So, you know, we're all kind of working our way into the new year. And it is amazing. I've gotten a whole bunch of calls from people this year who are, it's almost like it's their New Year's resolution to get their estate planning done, or suddenly they're excited about getting their estate planning done, whereas at the end of the year, they were concerned about the holidays and everything. So now, new year, new leaf, new time to get estate planning done. And as an estate planning attorney, my response is, there's no time like the present. So we might as well get it done, get it finished, get it taken care of. And then we can go ahead and get things figured out so that your estate plan is set up. And so it's set up and ready to go. And we've got the ability to have everything done and taken care of. So, you know, I would encourage you. I encourage that. You know, if you have, you know, I talked earlier about New Year's resolution of doing exercise, and I'm going to exercise and I'm going to get in shape, or I'm going to lose, you know, however many pounds and so on and so forth. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And so you get going and you do it. And then awesome. And, you know, if you stick with it, good for you. Well done. Most people don't really finish up their New Year's resolutions, or at least they give up on them a little bit easier than they should. But if you do accomplish it, good for you. But if you wanted to make your New Year's resolution that you're going to get your estate planning put in place, I am more than happy to help you with that. I'm, you know, be thrilled to be able to help you get your estate planning done. And then all we have to do is tweak it from time to time when it's time to, when, you know, when things get done. I mean, the host of the show that follows me, John Rush, and Rush to Reason, I did his estate plan a couple of years ago. I know he talks about that, so I can say things like that. And earlier, you know, I think like last week or the week before, he says, yeah, it's been a couple of years. We probably ought to review it and, you know, make sure everything's okay. I said, well, yeah, unless you're really planning on cutting one of your kids out, I think you're still okay. There haven't been too many major changes to where life is and what we've done that I built you a flexible enough estate plan that you don't necessarily need to redo it every, you know, 2 years. It can be every few years. He said, yeah, but, you know, one of my kids is really being a punk and thinking about cutting him out. I'm like, well, you know, you might want to use that more as a threat to say, hey, you know what? Shape up or I'm going to cut you out, but you don't necessarily have to go in and actually do it. If you do want to actually do it, by all means, go for it. I can help you out with that as well. But I think there are a lot of times where, I mean, and I've had it for people. I mean, I've talked about it earlier on this show, where I had a client who they wanted to put everything in trust and leave it in trust until their kids turned 65, because the kids weren't saving for retirement. I said, okay. So I did that. That was several years ago that I did that. And then this summer, they came back to me. They're like, well, the kids are saving okay now, so maybe we can eliminate that clause. So we rewrote the trust to eliminate that clause and make everything work out. I had somebody who I met with last week who had a similar desire. They wanted to leave things in trust until their kids hit retirement age. So basically, they wanted to fund their kids' retirement instead of just giving things outright to them all at once. That's perfectly fine. And, you know, we'll see if that works its way to fruition. I met with this particular gentleman, and he had other questions, and so we didn't finalize everything on a first meeting, which is fine. You know, a lot of times after a first meeting, we're like, okay, we're ready to go. Sometimes we're not, and that's okay too. We can figure that out. And then I have a friend who their dad set up a trust like that. It was like, oh, you know, we're going to leave everything in, going to leave everything in trust until the kids turn 65. Well, the kids are like 62, 63, and apparently all they want to do is fight about who should get assets and who owns what assets and who's being treated fairly and unfairly and all these type of things. And, you know, so far I've been able to avoid being put in the middle of it and, oh, well, Michael said this, and so we need to do this, and so on and so forth. But they came to me and they're like, oh, well, is there a way to get out of this? There's a way to, you know, to end the trust before we have to be in charge of, you know, we have to continue to get along because all we're doing is fighting and it's tearing us apart. And, you know, so I had a long conversation with them about how, hey, you know, we might want to understand that maybe part of what your dad was trying to do was to keep you from fighting and not tear each other apart. But, you know, that was something that was important to their dad. And so, you know, we talked about how we can do things, potentially doing things differently, potentially not. And we talked about how that may or may not be in their best interest. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. But, you know, because everybody's situation is different and everybody has a different approach. And, you know, no one is necessarily, I mean, I always think it's hilarious when people are like, oh, well, what's the best way to do something? As if somehow I'm going to be able to come up with the one best way that things can be done. I usually tend to point out that there's not just one way of doing things. And that me declaring, oh, this is the one best way, you know, I tend to default to, hey, you know what, let's talk about what our options are. Let's talk about what things may work for you and what things may be the best for you. Because that way, you know, just, you know, I've heard commercials out there where it's like, oh, you know, one is not a choice. One is not an option. So we need to do something different. And we need to, so you know, what we want to do is customize a plan for you so that we know what is going to happen for you. And, you know, there's not just one best option. I can't give you a best option. And a lot of times I'll be like, you know what, we need to choose. I need to give you options and let you choose for yourself what's the best for what you want. So thanks for listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey on 560 KLZ The Source. John Rush is up next. Thanks and bye.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey will return to ATX next Wednesday at 2:30 here on KLZ 560 The Source. AM 560, FM 100.7, and online at 560thesource.com.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.